Welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We are so glad you decided to join us today. We know you're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by this powerful sermon. Well, praise God. Last week, I was, like I said, I was going into Christmas sermons. That was my establishment of what I was going to do, Christmas sermons all the way up. But the Holy Spirit definitely changed it. I was totally open to that. Last week, we talked about Satan's strategies. It's really ministered to me because I realized that, you know, he works through our flesh. And I'll say this, if you ever feel discouraged, if you ever feel down, if you ever feel faithless, if you ever feel doubt, that is not God. That's not of God. And if we really realized how great our God is, we would never have a reason as a believer to ever be down, ever be discouraged. Well, hold on, Pastor. You don't understand. I do understand. If we knew how greatly amazing, incredible our God is, we wouldn't have any reason to ever be discouraged. So whenever that comes, that's not God. That's the enemy working through your flesh to bring you discouragement, amen? And it's really, I would catch myself this week. Different, you know, thoughts come in. I was like, that's not God. That's not God. So I would do what we're going to do. I would stand firm, right? What we're going to talk about today is, as we ended last week's sermon, I ripped through the armor. And I thought to myself, discuss it with my wife. I usually just, you know, and I thought, I want to focus on the armor pieces. And I'm going to do it in two sermons. So we're going to do the first three pieces of armor today. We're going to do the next three pieces of armor next Sunday. And I'm thinking, I mean, as good as a Christmas message, what could be better than to prepare you for next year? Amen. Yeah. To be ready to fight the battles and go through the struggles that you're going through in life and how to do that in the right way. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18 again. And we're focusing on the three pieces of armor. So turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And put your finger at verse 10. We're going to break those down, look at those verse by verse a little bit, and then put a lot more emphasis on the first three pieces of armor. We're going to call this today Armored Up. Armored Up. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And if you're there, I want to read a couple affirmations that I wrote down regarding our church and what we believe. Can I do that? Yes. Okay. I do not affirm the capacity of evil spirits to possess or demonize Christians. In order to fight victoriously, I do not affirm the need to identify spirits associated with various sins. For example, the spirit of lust. Or spirits attached to specific physical locations, for example, territorial spirits or objects, and spirits passed down through human bloodlines, i.e. generational spirits. I do affirm that we are promised victory over the devil as stated in James 4:7. If we resist him, he will flee from us. I believe it's clear that this resistance involves submitting to God, drawing near to him, having on the full armor of God, becoming serious about repentance, and humbling ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Spiritual warfare consists not in actively pursuing the devil, but in addressing God in prayer. It is a matter of standing firm and unmovable in one's faith and obedience to God. Amen? So with that stated, let's move on and talk about God's armor. First three parts of it. So let's read through Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. First verse, verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Charles Spurgeon said this, "You know how strong Paul himself was. He was a veritable giant for Christ. And here he calls upon his brethren to be as he was. He did not want to be brothers to dwarfs, so he appealed to his brethren to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, it says so, put on the whole armor of God, not part of it, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. This is a command. Put on the whole armor of God. He's saying, put it on now. Put on the whole armor of God. You're going to find the first three pieces are already on you, but you're supposed to take the next three and put them on now. It's not our armor we put on. It is God's armor. And we are supposed to put it on and put it on now and wear it always, because we do not stand a chance against the craftiness and the deception of the devil in our own power. We fight this fight in the strength of the Lord and in his might. We have to have God's armor applied to our lives the moment that we get up in the morning. Actually, we need to have it on as we sleep. We need to be armored up. Even in Isaiah 59, 17, Jesus had this on. Look at what it says. Isaiah said, and he put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and he wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. Even Christ was clothed in this armor. Amen. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. In other words, we are at war. Anybody in a war right now? We are in a war. One commentator said this, therefore, the church is not a cruise ship with the pastor as the master of ceremonies. Indeed, it is not a showboat, but a battleship. We are called to see Satan's strongholds crumble under the power of heaven's artillery. We do not have the luxury of neutrality. We must engage in the fight. A truce will never be called. God's will for his saints is not that we merely survive, but that we thrive in total victory. We must be aware of our enemy if we would have this victory. We need to learn of our infernal foe. Another commentator quote, how quickly, in the context of who we're fighting against, he says, how quickly I am suckered into the trap of thinking that people are my enemy. I have said many times, if it were not for people, I could live the Christian life. You've done it too. In your prayer times, you've said, God, if you will just get rid of this person who is bothering me, it'll be all right. We have this paranoia when it comes to people. We think people are our enemies. It is what controls the person that is my true enemy. That is why God consistently says in Ephesians, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Can the devil use a believer against a believer? Yes. A believer who's not walking in their spiritual power, armored up, living in the Spirit, is open game to the enemy, and he can use them and their personality and how they are to come into another believer's life and bring and try to bring unrest, dysfunction, and steal their peace. Even in the church. And that's why it throws us off so much, because we're thinking, why are they, man, they should not, people who are believers should not be acting that way. But they do, because you have a lot of them who never pray, never read the Word of God, they're not armored up, so they're living in the flesh. And they're being used. So the warfare is against those that are manipulating people and using them against us. So in this verse, Paul explains that the real battles against this hierarchy of evil forces, they come to discourage. Let me try to think of a few words here. They come to discourage. If you feel any of these, if you've ever gone through, you can say amen. They come to discourage, disillusion, discomfort, disrupt, dissatisfy, distract, disappoint, disgruntle, dishearten, distress, disturb, disunite, destroy, deceived, etc., etc. All the while trying to put in our minds a doubt in God's word and God's faithfulness. That's how he operates. And everybody in here has been in one of those words before. And you may be in one right now. You need to leave here getting out of that, having your armor on. So we need to truly comprehend that evil's not some imaginary thing going on out there. It's true. It's real. There really is evil. And there's one who's the author of it. He's a murderer and he is a destroyer. And it's an organized situation by an invisible, albeit not invincible, foe. And to be ignorant of this calling that we are hit, that we are in, and this great and the magnitude of the struggle, is a very dangerous ignorance. We need to be aware of it. Amen. But not give the devil any credit. Again, we don't have to win the victory by naming everything we think is a spirit of this or that. We stand in God's armor. Amen. Don't get caught up in all that stuff. Verse 13. Therefore, take up. Somebody say, take up. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand or resist in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Therefore, take up. This verb used for this phrase in the English, in the Greek, it's in the aorist imperative. And again, it brings a sense of urgency. Paul used a word there that brings a sense of urgency, and it demands that someone take decisive action. Therefore, take up, pick up, do something with God's armor. Decisively, do it now, don't delay. So, and think about it, as the Apostle Paul wrote this, he's using particular words to tell us this is imperative. Put it on. Don't wait. Do it now. So when the battle is the most fierce, every soldier of Christ in here, we can stand and hold our position even against the most determined attacks. So put on the full or whole armor of God. And I thought about this. If anybody knew what a soldier wore as armor, it would have been Paul, as being one who was chained to him, a soldier, for at least 3 years. So I think after 3 years, he could see exactly what this guy had on. He could then relate it into what he wrote. Yeah, it's amazing. So he provides us with this full armor. It's not our armor, because it says the full armor of God. And we must recognize that we put this on by faith and obedience. To withstand or resist, so you put on the full or whole armor of God, withstand or resist. Resist means to oppose with firm determination. We have so much lack of victory in the body of Christ from what I've seen, and it's coming from people who are not armored up. Withstand or resist, it means to oppose with firm determination. The Greek word used here is anthistemi. It's where we get the word antihistamine. It suggests vigorously opposing. Vigorously opposing, bravely resisting, standing face to face against an adversary, holding your ground. You're going to say, I don't know, man, they're so powerful. We're going to see in a moment that in the middle of this fight, we can have all confidence that we're victorious. Somebody say amen. We can have all confidence in this. God's going to show us with the first three pieces of armor that you have every reason in these battles to stand confident and to fight, not be sheepish. Paul does not say that we're supposed to hunt down or actively pursue our spiritual enemies. Because don't worry about it. They're going to find you. It's not this. We don't fly in 747 jumbo jets above cities calling out territorial spirits. You're going to suffer the consequences of that if you're not ready for it. I've seen that personally. We need simply to remain steadfast, immovable, girded in the full armor of God in the face of this persistent attack. Is it going to happen at Christmas? Yes, he will attack you. He will attack people at this season as much as any other time, and sometimes even more, trying to steal their peace. This says, having done all, to stand firm. From a practical standpoint, one stands firm by living the obedient, scripture-dominated, and spirit-empowered life. If you're really walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, you will live a very powerful, victorious life. A life dominated by the Spirit. Because if you're living by the Spirit, that means you're not quenching or grieving the Spirit. Right? That then strengthens you to stand firm. So let's go into our first of these three pieces of armor in verse 14. It says, stand therefore. In the context, it conveys the idea of digging in. So stand therefore, dig in. Having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the order of these pieces of armor is very important to note. What we put on first is the belt of truth. The perfect place to start whenever we're under attack. The picture is officers in the Roman army would wear a Scottish kilt type garment covered by a longer tunic with a like a whatever type of material that would tie around their waist. And whenever the battle would come, they would take the tunic and tuck it up underneath that girded piece of material so that they could run, so that they could fight, so they'd be unimpeded. So belting one's waist, or as some versions say, if you got the King James in here, girding the loins, was always a symbol of readiness to fight. So girding the loins was always a symbol. So that was a symbol of the readiness to fight. That's why Paul mentions this item of armor first. You cannot battle correctly without being surrounded or being tied in with the belt of truth. So what does it mean to have the belt of truth? What does that mean in everyday terms? It's simply this. Whenever you're threatened by discouragement or depression or fear or spiritual apathy or any other similar type mood, you fight back by remembering that you first became a Christian by believing the truth. You find your foundation in the fact that God is truth. You find confidence in the battle that you're girded with God's truth. You've believed the truth. You remind yourself that in coming to Christ, you found the truth behind all things. You are established in His truth. To be clothed with truth means to be sincerely committed to the truth. In other words, I am totally sold out to who God is. I'm totally sold out to what God has done. I'm totally sold out to what God has said. It is the truth, and now I am completely surrendered to Him. So we stand confident in our battle because we are in the truth. That's why it's so important for believers to believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God, that the Bible has no mistakes in it. Because if you're someone that's believing, well, I don't know about this section of it, or I don't want to believe that Old Testament because God did all those things to those kids, and I don't want, you know, people were killed and all that. I don't want to believe that. You're not standing on the inerrancy of God's Word. And you're never going to be really, truly fastened in with the truth because you don't believe the truth. You've got to understand that God's Word is inerrant. There are no mistakes. There are no contradictions. It's His truth. And when we're established in God's truth, knowing that we're in His truth, been saved by believing in His truth, are you getting the confidence that should bring you into battle? I'm in God's truth. I know the truth. So no matter what I'm being told about myself, it's a lie. I know the truth. As He tries to come at people with, you're not really saved. Do you think you're saved? Look how you messed up. Man, feel guilt, 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 guilt. No, I'm in the truth. I'm in the truth. I know who I am in Christ. Amen. And this ministers to me. I have taught this. I've read this. it has never come so clear to me that the first three pieces of armor that we already have on are on us and establish us in the fact that we are confident in who we are in Christ. Amen. And we are confident in that. If you're in war, I mean, are you not in? Are you not confident as the Apache helicopters are over here and you got other guys who are over here and the tanks are back there and you're surrounded by, are you not confident in the battle? We need to be confident in this battle. We're in the truth. Warren Wiersbe said, unless we are motivated and directed by truth, we will be defeated by the enemy. If we permit any deception into our lives, we have weakened our position and cannot fight the battle victoriously. I am in the truth. I hold faithfully to the truth of God's word as my foundation. I apply it to my life. And since Satan is a liar, we have to oppose him with God's truth. He lies about everything. You fight confidently because you know the truth. You're established in God's truth. And think about 3 John 1:4. The author, John said this, I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth. We are living in the truth. So we are girded with the belt of truth. And I pray and I say to all of you guys, please be students of the Word of God. Get a Bible that's going to give you the right commentary. Understand the Word of God. It's not just about quoting slogans and phrases. It's about the Word of God. You're going to learn that in the sword of the Spirit. So, our next piece of armor, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Satan is the advocate of unrighteousness. So then when we have sinned, he's the one who accuses us before God. So whenever you mess up, he tattles on you and tries to go before your father and say, look what they did. Look what they did. To many people, he emphasizes the benefits of sin and minimizes the consequences. That's why we have so many sinning saints. But they could be withstood, his attacks, if we know what we have on us in the breastplate of righteousness. So it says, having on or having put on. The Greek word enduo means literally to clothe or dress someone and to put on as a garment. It's in the Greek aorist tense, which indicates that it's been put on. It's a past completed action. It's already on us when we got what? Saved. And the action in putting it on us, that word tells us that it was decisive. It was a decisive action. You were clothed in Christ's righteousness decisively the moment you believed and placed your faith in him as your Savior. Declared, justified, not guilty, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You now have the breastplate on. You're already standing against the enemy in Christ's righteousness. Clothed in the robes of Christ's righteousness. The late Ray Steadman said this, when I get up in the morning, I put on my clothes, intending them to be part of me all day, to go where I go and do what I do. They cover me and make me presentable to others. That is the purpose of clothes. In the same way, the apostle is saying to us, put on Jesus Christ when you get up in the morning, make him a part of your life that day. Intend that he go with you everywhere you go and that he act through you in everything you do. Call upon his resources. Live your life in Christ. You are a new man or a new woman who is clothed in the robes of Christ's righteousness. We as Christians sometimes, and a lot of people deal with this, they're this constantly aware of these failures and shortcomings in their lives. Constantly falling down and getting back up, making mistakes. And for some, there's this, and I've met people like this, I've ministered to people, there's this nagging sense of guilt. And the devil's good at that. bringing guilt to you. Look what you did. Look what you did. Man, I'm clothed in righteousness. I am already, before God the Father, I'm already standing right before Him. So in the battle, no matter what the enemy tries to bring to me in my thought life about what I have or haven't done, I can say, you know, in the battle, I'm standing against you because I already have Christ on. I'm already robed with His righteousness. He makes some people unhappy, miserable, filled with guilt. That's simply a satanic attack, trying to undermine what God is doing in your life. So how do you answer an attack like this? You answer by remembering that you're already wearing the breastplate. I'm already in Christ's righteousness. And this is not an earned righteousness. It's not a feeling of righteousness, but a righteousness received by faith in Jesus that was decisively put on us at the moment of our conversion. Should bring us a great sense of confidence. Should bring you an awareness of your standing in Christ, your position before God. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Talk about a great God. We realize how appalling sin is to a holy God. We realize how egregious sin is to a holy God. And we were born separated by Him, from Him, by our sin. And that God chose to forgive us. Because He chose us from the foundation of the world. You're here today because God chose you before the foundation of the world that you would come to know Him as God the Father and Christ as the Savior. I mean, isn't that thrilling? It is thrilling. I talk about my friend in Hawaii who I told you got saved. I was a little wild before I came to Jesus. And if you think you see wildness in me now as a believer, I did it the other way for the devil. He took all that away and said, I'm taking off your filthy garments and I'm going to put me on you. And now I'm encouraging myself right now. And now I'm in Christ. So I fight in this position of how could I ever lose? I am girded with the truth and I'm clothed in Christ. My breastplate is Christ's righteousness. So anything that's launched at me should not be able to get past our understanding that we are righteous in Christ. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, thank God for experiences, but do not rely on them. You do not put on the breastplate of experiences. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's a position. It's your best defense against the sense of spiritual depression that tries to come against your gut, that battle. I am righteous in Christ. So it's not our own miserable, tattered righteousness of any sort or self-righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness. And it's durable enough to deflect any of the arrows of Satan's accusations. And may I add this before we move on to the next piece. If we're not living righteously, we are easy targets for the enemy. Sinning saints cannot stand in the day of adversity when Satan attacks. That's why they're always defeated. Breastplate of righteousness. Piece of armor number 3. Verse 15. And I'm going to read it in the ESV. And when you read it slow, you get an idea here. And I'm going to say, I search commentator after commentator because when I read it in the ESV, I see it in its context and I wanted to make sure. So I check other sources that I trust and other commentators that I trust. And these gospel shoes are not talking about us running to others with the gospel. or us spreading the gospel of peace to other people. This is in the context of these shoes being on our feet, establishing our foundation in our fight.
Amen.
Okay? So ESV says it this way, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So the gospel of peace came into our lives, and it builds and it changed us. It saved us. Adam's sin separated us from God, right? Now we're saved. We're saved. The gospel of peace, the gospel of Jesus came into our lives. We accepted it. That gospel of peace now brings in us a readiness to fight as if we had on the Roman soldier's shoes for battle. So we are able to stand. They had hobnails coming out of the bottom of their shoes. Imagine a Roman soldier with bad shoes on, all armored up, but with really weak shoes on. They would march and walk and try to fight. All this stuff wouldn't mean anything. Have you ever had bad shoes? Forrest Gump's movie. What did Lieutenant Dan tell him? You got to take care of your feet. If you got all this going good for you and your feet aren't doing good, anybody can relate to that? You got a hangnail, you got a turf toe, you got some kind of corn or something going on. Man, your feet are hurting. All this can be going good. You're going, man, I'm hating life right now. That's what happens when you don't have good shoes on. So you got to have good shoes on. And the gospel of peace, you now stand in a battle knowing that you have peace with God. The wrath against you that was between you and God, that God had on you, you now, that is now removed from you, and you have peace with God. So as you're fighting, you're girded with the truth of God. You're clothed with the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, standing in readiness and the confidence that you have peace with this great God. And if you have peace with that great God, are you telling me he's not going to be there fighting with you? We have no reason to ever live a life that's defeated. Ever, 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 ever. The gospel of peace brings us confidence in the fight. I have peace with God through my confession and belief in Christ as my Savior. My believing in the gospel, trusting in Christ as my Savior, removed God's wrath and now brought me into a relationship where he and I are at peace. Because you were once at war with God. No matter how much money you gave to charity, or no matter how much good you think you did, unsaved, you were at war with God. And now you're at peace. So we stand in this mindset. See it? Anybody see it? I see it. I'm standing and I'm confident, not in my confidence, but in his confidence that I can fight and I know I can always have victory. I'm standing in with readied because the gospel of peace has made me ready as if I had put on the right shoes for battle. I mean, when I went through Navy boot camp, they gave us these shoes they called boondockers. They had no support. You'd go run, it's like, my goodness, man, where's my gym shoes? Well, they've made great strides, even in forming boots for soldiers now. And you can't tell me the special operators go out in some kind of crummy boot. They got good shoes on their feet that readies them for the battle. So the gospel of peace, the peace that we have with God, it's like shoes that gives us a safe and solid standing as we fight. I'm fighting from confidence in the fact that I am at peace with God. I am always fighting on victory ground.
Amen.
I am always on victory ground. So peace with God makes us ready to fight in confidence. Does everybody see that? So now we can stand firm. We can stand ready. steady through the gospel of peace, resist his tactics and his schemes because we know who we are. His tactics and his schemes should have no effect on us because we now know, you now know who you are. You are in his truth, right? You have on his breastplate of righteousness. And what's so interesting about it is the words that Paul laid out showed us that these pieces of armor are already on us. That's why it's good. I'm going to be bringing you more of the original languages than I have ever done before because it's good to see what Paul meant. These are already on us. Next week, we're going to talk about the things you got to pick up. That means you got to pick it up. So now, with these three things on, we're not hindered, we're not weakened, we're not unbalanced by fear or worry or anxiety. Do you see what I said before? If we have any worry, any fear, if we have any anxiety, it is not of God. It is the enemy coming into our lives to try to cause us to be unbalanced. But I am emboldened. I'm emboldened today in my fights. I'm strengthened by knowing who I am, and I'm strengthened by knowing that I am at peace with God. Don't remember that, saints. Don't forget that. I mean, don't forget that you are at peace with God. Although as a believer, we still make mistakes, we still sin, that we need to confess, that does not take off our breastplate of righteousness. We are still standing in righteousness. Does everybody get that? This was a one-time act. We came to Christ. We are clothed in his righteousness. We are at peace with God. When we as a believer sin, it doesn't mean that we now have God's wrath against us again. It just means that we are, I guess the best way to say it is we're kind of messing up the relationship from our side. God still loves us. He's still at peace with us, but we got to get this right so that we are walking in the fullness of the Spirit, living victoriously. We confess that sin, but that righteousness never is removed from us. And my theological position on this is that once you come to Christ, that breastplate is on you, and there is no one that can take it off. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's about as much as I can get in one sermon. My time allotted for these three pieces. There's so much more that we could cover, but y'all get the understanding, correct? Ultimately, you're going to leave here today. Go home and study it. Read it again, but go home and get this overarching understanding that these three pieces that are on us as believers build in us the confidence of who we are in Christ, and we fight from that position.
Yes,
we don't fight from a defeated position. We fight from an emboldened position.
Yes.
And it says it happened decisively, and it says to fight vigorously.
Yes.
Amen? So that's how we're going to be from now on. They're on us because of who we are in Christ. They build in us and they establish us in the foundation of confidence in whose we are. I am God's. He loves me. You are God's. He loves you. He loves you. And no matter what you're going through, he's there with you. So we have every reason to be readied and every reason to be stable. We are confident in this struggle today. Amen? Let's go before our great God in prayer. Thank you for joining us at Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We pray this sermon blessed you, encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us, and come back and visit us anytime. God bless you.